We turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, and from verse 23 through to the end of 22. As I suggested earlier, these are the very last words of the Bible. These are the culmination of all the teaching in the Bible, all the end to which it tends. The Lord Jesus is here enthroned, the everlasting life, the celestial city, are described. And one last final appeal is made that we might believe. And the purpose of this in a gospel service is to look at the glorious things that shall be for eternity and to say to ourselves, if we need to, am I going to miss out on all that? Is this not an invitation still open to me to put my trust absolutely and always in the Lord Jesus Christ? The picture here, because we pick it up at verse 23, begins that the city had no need of the sun. Here we have a picture of eternity. Here we have a picture under the imagery of a city of the eternal state. And in that eternal state, the sun, which we know here, will no longer be needed for life or for growth, to sustain life, for growth or light. For there'll be no need of the sun or of the moon, for it is the glory of God himself who will be the light. And the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, will be the light. Just imagine it. It was very wet when we arrived today, but now the sun is shining vigorously and it's quite warm for the time of year. The Saviour, our Saviour, will be that light, that life. The one in whom we bask, the one in whom, without changing, without running down, and ourselves living forever, shall enjoy that citizenship. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of the Saviour. The saved, notice. It doesn't mean saved nations. It just means saved people out of each nation, thought separately, nation by nation. But the saved people of the 5th century, 10th century, 20th century, whenever, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of the Lamb in the glorious city of God. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honour into it. Only saved kings, perhaps not many mighty, not many noble, not many kings, but we know there are some. But even kings with all their nobility, with all their power, submit to the King of Kings, the Saviour, the Lord of Lords, the Redeemer. They submit and they present their crown, their glory, to the crown of the King of Kings, Emmanuel, God with us. The gates of it shall never be shut. The old Jerusalem, the gates were shut by night so that people couldn't force their way in, enemies, and so that people couldn't trade on the Lord's day. But of course there'll be no night there. And there'll be no possibility of anyone who is not saved already entering in. And all who are saved come and go freely. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. There'll be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honour of the nations, not just kings, but everybody. Whatever glory they had, whatever gifts they had, whatever they enjoyed of the Lord's beneficence, all that will be gladly submitted to the King of Kings and brought as his treasure into that kingdom. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever maketh abomination, that is an idol, or maketh a lie, that's another word for an idol, because they have no life. Only those whose names are written in the book of life from before the foundation of the world shall enter in. There is a register. There is a register of names of every single person. And when the last person on earth who is to be saved is saved, then the Lord shall return. And every one of those who are saved, but only those who are saved, will enter into that heaven. And it's all by the Lamb. It's all through the Saviour, the one who was slaughtered and sacrificed to make an atonement for sin. Only those who've come by that atonement personally, whose names are inscribed as duly saved, shall enter into that place. And the messenger, God's angel, showed me a pure river of water of life. I was looking this week in chapters 19, 20, 21, and 22 of the angel. And it has to be that sometimes in this book, as you know, the word angel means messenger. And sometimes those messengers are heavenly angels. And sometimes they are earthly messengers, like the messengers of the churches in chapters 2 and 3. The representatives of God who brings his message. But it's very interesting in chapter 19 and in this chapter coming, that the messenger, the angel he sees in his vision, is not a heavenly angel. It's a prophet. Because he says, "Do not worship me. I am one of the prophets like you." The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, chapter 19. And in this chapter, he says, "I am one of those. I am of thy brethren, the prophets, who keep the sayings of this book." So it's an earthly messenger seen in a vision. A former prophet, a writing prophet maybe, or a speaking prophet maybe, a preacher maybe. But it's this that he sees, both in chapter 19 and in chapter 22. So, he sees now a river, pure river of water of life. So he's being taken, if you like, through this heavenly city, his first introduction, if you like, in vision, in advance, to this heavenly city. And as they go around, the angel says, "Look, look, this is the centerpiece. This is the glorious thing." And he saw a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the presence of God and the Lamb, the throne of God and the Lamb, by his power, by his sustaining, by his rule, the life, life, the river of the water of life. And in the midst of the street, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life. You remember, of course, in the Old Testament, right at the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, they took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were allowed beforehand to eat of the tree of life. And that perpetuated their life. But once they had fallen, the Lord said, "Now they have fallen. If they take the tree of life, they'll live forever in that state, and I'm not having that." And so he had a seraphim turning every way with his sword to keep the entrance to the book, to the Garden of Eden, so that there was no way back. But now the book of life and the tree of life is open again. And here is this tree of life. And on either side of the river, there were types of this tree of life, each bearing a fruit once a month. It's just a picture of constant, continual, glorious sustenance, but not the same sustenance. Like we might enjoy different fruits, different tastes. So in heaven there is variety. But there is this great 12 manner of fruits of the tree of her life. And the leaves of that tree are for the healing of the nation. It's again just a picture. But you see, Jewish believers with their culture might not be very happy with Greek believers and their culture. They may see things differently. Well, in glory, everybody will see it the same. None of us will want to emphasize our cultural differences, our educational differences, our differences in approach or belief. We'll all believe the same thing because we will have been healed by that same tree of life. Every predisposition, every prejudice, everything in our mind that we had before will go there will be no sin. We'll have an utter acceptance of everybody else. That's the picture. In Christ. And there shall be no more curse. No more death. No more sickness. No more sin of any sort. No more curse. Everybody will be free. Absolutely free. Absolutely perfect. Absolutely relieved. Absolutely strong. Absolutely fit and well. Absolutely in spirit. Focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father. God, our Heavenly Father. There shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve. What a wonderful thing. It won't be service that's hard. It won't be service that's forced. It'll be perfectly what we, everybody who believes, will want to do and gloriously do and be powered to do. We won't get tired. We won't run out of energy. All these glorious things. So these are just pictures, but the thing is to think what a wonderful inheritance we have in Christ. This is what we shall have. And they shall see his face. Whereas before only the back parts were seen of God, and that only by Moses. They shall see his face. And his name shall be in their foreheads. What do they stand for? The Saviour and his Father. God, the glorious Trinity. What do they believe? What are they sustained by? What is the absolute source of their life? What is the source of their devotion? It is the Saviour. It is the Father. His name shall be in their foreheads. There'll never be night. There'll never be darkness. There'll never be depression. There'll never be need of sleep. There'll never be need of resuscitation. There'll never be need of any of these things. God will give light. The light of life. The light of understanding. There'll be no imitation of understanding. We shall know every single believer that there ever was. What a wonderful thing. There shall be no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever.